I'll let Rosita in a minute introduce more of the service, but our prelude song this morning was chosen by Ben. And it's a song about drawing people to a place of belonging. That's really what the core of Third Way Collective has been about, and one of the many things we're celebrating this morning. So as you listen to this prelude, consider that place of belonging that we all long for and work to create as a community. May we worship together.
You can hold my hand when you need to let go. I can be a mountain when you're feeling valley low. I can be a street light showing you the way home. 'Cause you can hold my hand when you need to let go.
Good morning. It's so enjoyable to take a glimpse into one another's lives through the prelude video each week. So thank you so much, Ben, for continuing to put those together. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which is celebrated the seventh Sunday after Easter Sunday and commemorates the coming of the Holy Spirit to Jesus' disciples and to all of us. And I think it's fitting that we will spend the second part of today's service recognizing Ben Wideman for his campus ministry with Third Way Collective. He heard the Spirit's call and followed the Spirit's leading to our church 6 years ago. And although that ministry is now coming to an end, I hope that as a community of faith, we will ask God's Spirit to stir our hearts anew as we find ways to continue to be God's church in a hurting world. For our call to worship, I'll be reading a meditation I found on a website called holdfasttowhatisgood.com. In those days, says the Lord, in those days after Jesus rose from the dead, in those days when no one really knew what was going on or what was going to happen, in those days God exhaled the Holy Spirit. And when the disciples pushed out their fear, and as dancing flames heralded the arrival of something new, and as the birth cry was the cries of many languages, all understood. In those days, the church was born out of fear and fire, with joy and awe. The church was born, our church, God's church. Let us worship God and let us pray. Holy God, holy breath, wind, flame, spirit, set our hearts afire. Burn off all that is dry and lifeless and grow us anew. Let your spirit dance within our spirits, uprooting us when we have been unmoved, and refreshing all that is stale in our lives. Breathe on us your peace, that we will share that peace with all we meet. Amen. Each week we light a candle for peace. For many of us, it has been difficult to find peace during this time of COVID-19. And then this past week was filled with tragedy, pain, anger, and violence surrounding the death of another Black man by police. It can feel overwhelming. Maybe that's why I latched onto Kate's introduction of the meta prayer during last week's service. It's a prayer that can be used as a calming meditation when we don't know what to do or where we can find peace. It's a prayer that begins with me, then you, then all beings. I thought I would share it again today, and I invite you to take a few deep breaths with me as it is read.
May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be free from suffering. May I be well. May I be at peace. May I be joyful. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be free from suffering. May you be well. May you be at peace. May you be joyful. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be well. May all beings be at peace. May all beings be joyful.
Please rise if you are able, and we're singing number 26.
Thank you.
please join me in prayer. God, we are grateful for all that we have. Enable and empower the gifts we have been given to bring healing and hope to the world through your Spirit. Amen. And now it's time for children's time. And today we're going to watch as the Spiker Schoenberg and Spiker Lee children act out what may have happened on the first day of Pentecost when God gave the Holy Spirit to Jesus' disciples.
When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were together in one place, singing and praising God and praying.
The Lord is my rock, my rock, my rock, and my salvation, my salvation. He is my fortress, my fortress, my fortress.
My Father, who art in heaven,
and while they were praying, suddenly the sound of a wind filled the house where they were staying, and they wondered what was going on. And then all of a sudden, flames of fire appeared on their heads. And they began speaking in different languages and praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord!
And while they were praising the Lord, some strangers came by and said,
"How do they know our language? 한국말 어떻게 배웠지?"
And they wondered how the people knew their language. And then Peter stood up and said,
"This is the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has promised."
Yeah, that's what Jesus said.
Yeah!
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves.
Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house."
Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet we know this, the kingdom of God has come near."
It was just about 6 years ago that I stood in this very pulpit right here as a candidate for your new Anabaptist campus ministry at Penn State. Our family had driven up to State College for a candidating weekend at UMC as you moved closer to hiring someone in that new role. That weekend, I remember feeling kind of nervous. Campus ministry had always been a dream of mine, but with our Mennonite campuses all having fairly established campus ministers, I assumed that I had to have one of them retire before I'd even be considered for one of those jobs. Yet all of a sudden, here was another possibility. At the time, our family was reasonably content in southeastern Pennsylvania, And I was enjoying my time as the pastor for youth and young adults at Salford Mennonite Church. The candidating weekend was a bit of a blur as we tried to imagine ourselves living in this new town, trying to get a sense of who you were as a congregation. Even though the role would not require regular preaching, the search committee thought it would be beneficial for me to offer a morning message just as I'm doing today. I hoped my message that morning would give you a sense of who I was. So I chose Luke 10, 1 to 11 as the scripture passage. And I thought it would be fun this morning to revisit that text. This Luke passage that was read this morning by our Third Way Collective student leaders introduces the call of Jesus to be sent out to dwell in the world. Often, I theorized 6 years ago, we as the church forget this message, to go out, to share a meal, to heal those in need, and to proclaim peace. In my sermon, I asked how we as the church might live into that sending call in today's world. If you were there that morning, you might remember that I made reference to a video game called Minecraft, a game that sold millions of copies across a variety of platforms. Despite its small-scale independent creation, it has become one of the most profitable and best-selling video games of all time. Minecraft doesn't sound terribly exciting on paper. Players spend their time mining resources and creating things, but what I wanted us to consider 6 years ago was the unique way that the game was designed. Its creators allowed players from the very beginning to have the freedom to explore and build beyond even what the creators intended. You see, the world in which Minecraft players exist has almost unlimited boundaries. It's been described by some as a virtual sandbox. Players begin and they make things up as they go along. The purpose of the game has little to do with winning in the traditional sense. It's more about being present in a new and ever-expanding world or existence. If you run into a problem or a wall, you try and build around it. Or perhaps you move on to something new. I see that scripture passage from Luke as a similar space to occupy for people of faith. Just like the world of Minecraft, Jesus was sending out his disciples with a pretty wide-open template. He gave them some parameters, certainly, but he also provided a pretty big map on which to explore and move about and make things up as they went along. 6 years ago, I wanted to encourage us not to fall into the trap that so often happens with faith communities, to become insular boxes requiring people to arrive at a church building at a specific day and time to gather and worship. Belonging to a church community often, unfortunately, means defining who's in and who's out. And I was excited that you were hiring someone with the hope of doing the opposite, to be sent out to dwell with students in their spaces. The sending call from Jesus in Luke 10 is not always an easy thing for us to hear. As human beings, we value belonging and being together, and this calling is not that. This calling is risky. The text even describes this experience as sheep among wolves, or maybe in our case, sheep among lions. It means stepping out with some vulnerability, going out to places beyond our familiar settings. It might even mean proclaiming peace to those whom you are present with, even if they're a stranger, or maybe even if they're your enemy. Launching something new meant going without an agenda and simply dwelling at first. We had ideas about how things might go, but many of our early assumptions were just that. We thought our critical student mass would come from Mennonite or Peace Church traditions. We expected financial support to come in from the broader Mennonite church. We dreamed about an intentional living community being at the core of what we were doing, or perhaps even establishing a peace studies department or a chair here to make that a lasting thing here on our campus. Unfortunately, despite our best efforts, none of those things really took hold. But I guess just like our passage this morning, you all decided not to lay out a clear metric for what a successful campus ministry was going to look like. Now, I'll admit that this one was hard for me to buy into at first. Don't worry, I was told, we'll know what success looks like when we see it. Jesus gave his followers some mysterious language about the plentiful harvest, but he never said much about how, what, or why, or when that harvest would take place. He didn't say go out and find some people who are really talented musicians to help lead music on Sunday morning. He didn't ask people to go out and collect donations to build a new addition or to support a missionary family in Africa. No, those first followers were sent out to share a meal, to be present with those in need, to proclaim peace, and to just simply be present. I imagine this sending was somewhat similar to the Pentecost moment that we celebrate today. No one left instructions on how to proceed when Jesus went up to heaven. How would they know what it looked like when the Spirit was with them and was moving? What was success going to look like? It isn't clear, but I can hear Jesus saying, "We will know it when we see it." I think that same Spirit was present when you decided to pursue your own campus ministry. It was also what compelled me as a pastor to arrive here to take on the challenge of doing something a little bit different. Your desire to go beyond the four walls of your church building over the past 6 years, to reach out to Penn State University in very real and tangible ways, even when you weren't sure what the outcome would be, was remarkable in a world where churches often choose to do the exact opposite. What we were dreaming of here wasn't exactly easy. Our expectations had to shift as we moved along. Our lack of financial support from the broader church meant that we had to shift our focus to local congregations and individuals. The lack of interest from Mennonite students and the void of students longing for a ministry like this here meant that we had to go out and find students who may not know what a Mennonite was or who weren't even really sure what they thought about their faith identity or how it connected to their justice causes. We had to figure out ways to be present in their lives in spaces on campus that many campus ministries did not. We entered spaces that most people wouldn't go, and we met them in unique ways. We realized quickly that students often felt like they had to choose between their faith or their peace and justice concerns, so we had to become a literal third way, offering an example about what it might look like to imagine what faith-based peace and justice was in daily living. The justice-minded students rarely entered the spiritual center behind me, nor did the students of faith show up at the gates. We also had to figure out how not just to be present for the ready and engaged students, but also how to bring God's Spirit to those who felt alone, isolated, or marginalized here at Penn State. And I remember thinking many times, perhaps the reason no one is doing faith-based peace and justice is because no one cares. The 40-something evangelical and mainline campus ministries seem to be meeting the needs of students without peace and justice, and the justice community seems to be doing okay without the faith component. When the blueprints and maps get all mixed up, it can feel pretty helpless. So what happens when things don't work out as expected? What happens when we have to shake the dust off our feet and move on? One thing COVID-19 is teaching those of us who like being in control is just how unrealistic that can be sometimes. We call ourselves people of faith, but we also like certainty and control, don't we? Our safe space beyond home and work is the church building, or maybe the specific pew that we sit in, where we know the familiar hymns. We know the layout, the floor plan of the building. We get to chuckle as our cute kids run up for children's time. And we also know with some comfort that the sermon's rarely going to be longer than 20 minutes. And we also know that we'll have time to share in each other's lives each week before heading downstairs for a hot beverage when it's all done. That is, if Oseo has found enough people. We have to work hard to step beyond our comfort zone, don't we? A place where we feel needed in the church and where our many committee roles remind us that there is important work to be done here. We have to depend on each other, I think, to share glimpses of God's movement beyond our church building that nudge us beyond these walls. We must remind ourselves that we are the hands and feet of God as we move about the world. As your campus pastor, I've been surprised and amazed by the Spirit's movement that emerged when you sent me out beyond our building. I think about the ripples of change that we've been a part of in just a small segment of the Penn State community. Who would have guessed that being present with LGBTQ Christian students would have led to the creation of a new student club receiving with Thanksgiving, or that when one of those student leaders tragically lost their life, that I'd be called by the family to officiate at the funeral because I was the only pastor willing to walk with their child? Who would have expected that that would have led to same-gendered couples reaching out to me when they couldn't find an officiant for their wedding, or when a student wanted to have a faith-based renaming ceremony because they were transgender? Who would have expected that that would have evolved into a transgender clothing exchange spearheaded by our student leaders that now has a permanent home here on campus at Penn State University? Who would have expected that this would house not only this permanent clothing exchange, but also would have regular chaplain hours right here in the LGBT Student Center? Or that those students from my first year are still in regular communication with me, and that one of them followed my footsteps out to Fuller Theological Seminary to imagine how his own ministry path might look from here. Sometimes I wonder whether these things would have occurred if I'd come with a set agenda and refused to budge from that,
I wonder what I might have missed if I had refused to show up during the Black Lives Matter movement, the immigration ban rallies, or the student unionization efforts, because it didn't fit with our original vision for Third Way Collective. I also wonder if I was always able to sense where the Spirit was leading me. Did I do enough to encourage students to deepen their faith? Have I done enough to prepare them for life beyond Penn State? Did I step down at the right time? Or should I have kept on going? This week, police in Minnesota needlessly killed one more black man. Our political election cycle seems even more disheartening than usual. Who will be there during this heavy moment when our students return to campus? Or even worse, who will be there as they navigate this coming fall from home? In these moments, I forget that regardless of our action or inaction, God is in control. God is moving whether I recognize it or not. God is at work in our local community whether we invite that person to our church or not. God is moving whether Third Way Collective continues beyond this moment or if we've already had our final event or activity. I imagine for many Jews in Jesus' time, they had a neatly packaged idea of what their religious life was supposed to look like. They understood what it meant to follow God because they'd been doing it for many years. But over generations, as it is with many things, their faith became formulaic. In a video game sense, it was just like those old games. It was like moving Pac-Man around to eat the dots, or even like turning Tetris blocks to make them fit. Jesus' arrival was like the introduction of Minecraft into that world. Suddenly, faith changes in ways no one has ever considered. The kingdom of God was no longer just this tiny ethnic group. It was a movement of God's people out into the world. So now, instead of fitting inside a tight package of rules, Jesus was saying that being a follower meant stepping up outside of your cultural or comfort zone. Instead of being contained in a Jewish nation, true followers of God were sent out to dwell with those who are different. Friends, as we move beyond this space, as we continue to discern what our calling in this community will be, I hope we can be empowered by the transformative and ever-expanding kingdom of God. I hope that we can see our context as an exciting space to try new things, to join the fiery Pentecost Spirit's movement in our midst. I hope we can embrace that sending call to go out to share a meal with those we do not know, to offer healing to those in need and hurting, and to proclaim God's peace as we move. May it be so. Amen.
And all God's people said, amen. Well, this is the last Sunday for Ben's leadership at Third Way Collective, and we want to make a bit of a transition right now. Encompassing Pentecost and blessing Pentecost and blessing the work that Ben has brought with Third Way Collective in this community. So we're going to start with a song that Mike Bratt wrote specifically for Ben and using some of Ben's favorite music. And then we're going to transition to voices from our community, giving gratitude and blessing the work of Third Way. So enjoy how we celebrate together the work that UMC has brought so faithfully to this community.
It was just about 6.
Hey Ben, we hear you're leaving. And hey man, that's got us grieving. But we want you to know you helped us believe in. We could reach a higher ground. Yeah, reach a higher ground. Now you came in when we were searching to help a world so full of hurting. And even though not nothing's ever certain. You led us to higher ground. Yeah, you led us to higher ground. Now we're so glad that you came to lend us a hand, and you reached out to those who really needed a friend. Yeah, you showed everybody there's a third way that can lead us all. Lead us all to higher ground. Yeah, that higher ground. Because you were building a space in a great big storm, safe and warm with an open door. Building a space in a great big storm, safe and warm with an open door. There were many times you were relied on to take a stand side by side with those who chose to hold up hope, faith, peace, and justice on the line. You shared a table, you were kind to others, often weeded out or left behind, lending an ear to hear the stories they were wrestling with inside. Sometimes I'm sure that late at night, with the evening light long gone, you wondered, would you ever see the dawn? Yeah, you were building a space in a great big storm, safe and warm with an open door. Building a space in a great big storm, safe and warm with an open door. You planned and strategized and organized and stood in the glare of the spotlight. You offered support and you gave of your time. Your head was engaged and your heart poured out like it was wine. You reached out and touched so many lives, and they knew you were on their side. Now the time has come and you're on your way. Take your eyes off your rearview mirror and never look back. If you run out of road and you got nowhere else to go, carry on. Let your face be bathed in the firstborn and rays of the sun. Carry on. If you run out of road and you got nowhere else to go, carry on. Let your face be bathed in the firstborn and rays of the sun. Carry on. Carry on. Your faith be bathed in the sweet glowing gaze of the sun.
When University Mennonite Church began considering a campus ministry organization and presence on campus, we talked about things that were important to us and important to our faith, and what we thought would be important to, especially to students on campus. And we talked about the kind of person that we would be looking for to give shape to such a program. And we realized, I think early on, that even though we didn't have everything figured out by any stretch of the imagination, that this would be a program and organization that would run as well as the person who took on the role of campus chaplain. And so when we found Ben, we knew that we had a personality, we had a person with passion and deep desire to connect to students individually and collectively on the campus. And so I am grateful for the work that Ben has done over these years, the personal connections he's made, the reaching out, especially to more vulnerable and isolated students on campus, and to create a sense of community where people recognize that they were valued for who they are and were encouraged to be the fullest and live out their fullest lives from the perspective from which they came.
Hi, Ben. Even though I've only known you for about a semester and a half since I got to Penn State, I want to thank you because your mentorship and your advice as I navigate a lot of really complex issues has been the most meaningful and the one that I look to the most. And I want to thank you also for all of the really, the seemingly inconsequential moments, which looking back have actually been the ones which have meant the most to me and have had the most powerful impact on the way that I see the world. I want to thank you for that. And I want to wish you luck. And I know that all of your future endeavors, given how well you've run Third Way Collective, will undoubtedly have a really powerful impact on the people you're ministering to and on the world around you. And I want to thank you for your time at Penn State and wish you good luck.
Hi, my name is Graciela Bolaños and I just graduated from Penn State. And I had the pleasure of being part of Third Way Collective in some way or another for the last 4 years. And I eventually got to serve as a student officer for this last year. And I'm super grateful for that opportunity. But even more, I am grateful for Third Way showing up from when I was a freshman at the Hub Takeover for Pride Week to as a senior, having Ben be part of my year in such a different capacity. I think that Third Way and Ben especially really showed me what an ally looks like and what a pair of listening ears can do. For anyone around you to spread peace and faith. And I want to thank Third Way and its supporters and especially Ben for, you know, the last 4 years. They really made my college experience a lot more memorable, a lot more significant and valuable. And I am really sad that it is dissolving. However, like I said, I'm extremely grateful that I got to experience it and I have faith that it will continue to happen in some capacity.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for all you've done these past years with Third Way Collective. You came into this job with just a little bit of guidance from our initial committee, and we gave you the freedom to figure out just what it looks like to connect peace, faith, and social justice together on the campus of a large public university. I remember standing with you in the Hub during that first involvement fair, trying to give out flyers to anyone who might take one, and explaining what Third Way Collective was when neither of us really had much of a clue. You embraced the ambiguity of the job and started making connections on campus and in our community. You reached out to some of the most vulnerable people and hurting students with compassion, always demonstrating by your actions and words how Christian faith and life connect each and every day. I know there were frustrations and times when you wondered if what you were doing was making any kind of a difference. And for the most part, we'll probably never know just how your influence impacted lives. But that's life and that's faith. I know you raised the consciousness of many in our community to issues of race discrimination and treatment of those who don't fit the normal gender roles of our culture. You were an ally, a friend, and a support to many who were marginalized and didn't seem to fit in. Thanks so much for being there for those students and providing a space where they could be just who they were without judgment. I'm so glad that our crazy idea for this ministry brought you and Meredith and the kids to State College, and that as this chapter of your life ends, I'm so glad as well that you decided to stick around for a while. Blessings in your future endeavors as you seek where God is leading you next.
Ben, I enjoyed being on the search committee and then on the advisory committee for Third Way Collective these last few years. Thank you for taking on the campus ministry, which became Third Way Collective, and for working so very hard. Thank you for enriching countless lives. And among the many things you gave the ministry, I'd like to point out your friendliness, sincerity, honesty, deep caring, compassion, and giving of grace. You truly modeled for the students and for all of us how to follow the path of Jesus. So thank you. And thank you too to Meredith for all of her support.
I was part of this congregation's team that engaged in a multi-year visioning process that eventually led to hiring Ben almost 6 years ago. I remember saying back then that Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said that we need a religionless Christianity. By that, Bonhoeffer meant that we need to be out in the world, meeting people where they are, and not merely confined to a church building. And I said that I hoped this would be our vision for campus ministry. I don't know how many others shared my vision, but I thank God today because I believe that Ben fulfilled that vision in ways that I never imagined at the time. Penn State will not be the same.
Hey, Ben, just wanting to take a moment to say thank you to you for being ready and willing to take what was sort of an ambiguous vision for a campus ministry and really run with it, bringing it to life and giving it meaning and value to the Penn State community. I remember thinking when we interviewed you that you reminded me of David Miller. You seemed so scholarly and articulate and thoughtful and compassionate and really dedicated to the Anabaptist values of peace and justice. And I thought that all of that both put you in good company and also stood you in good stead for taking the helm of this thing we were trying to create. And while we're not continuing the campus ministry at this time, I think you can take great pride in the work that you did for this ministry and great satisfaction in the lives that you have touched. And I trust that you also have been enriched through the work that you've done and the connections that you have made. And so as you go forward, I wish you all the best and God's blessings on you and Meredith and the kids.
Ben, I'm so very happy 6 years ago you made the decision to move to State College with your family and take up the challenge to create a new student ministry at Penn State. I recall discussing this dream at the Mennonite Conference in 2005 in Charlotte, and then again after St. Louis in 2015, it was even embedded in the new purposeful plan published by the Mennonite Church. You brought this dream to life, and your efforts and accomplishments these past 5.5 years went well beyond what we anticipated when we made the decision to begin this full-time ministry. When our church began over 50 years ago, one of the goals was ministering to students. When we decided to create an Anabaptist campus ministry, which then became the Third Way Collective, it was a leap of faith. With your leadership, the Third Way Collective became the catalytic force to help our church and the community address many issues under the banner Peace, Justice, and Faith. You've been an inspiration, connecting the church with so many issues that needed to be addressed in the State College community. Through the Palm Sunday Peace Walk, standing at the gate and at Old Main, with Black Lives Matter and many other issues that need a third way to bring peace and justice. Although the formal Third Way Collective chapter is ending, I hope you continue to bring your insights and inspiration to our church community, along with your whole family. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben, for the creative and inclusive way you've approached campus ministry. I'm always amazed at the number of lives that you've touched.
Hi, this is Bonnie Klein-Smeltzer from University Baptist and Brethren Church. I want to say a few things that I really appreciate about Third Way Collective. as we celebrate the closing of this ministry. First off, it was a ministry of compassion. Compassion that reached out for the outsiders and the folks on the margins. It was also a ministry of collaboration. Ben, you did amazing work at collaborating with the other campus ministers, with other churches, with community organizations, and civic organizations as well. And finally, I think Third Way was all about building the beloved community, the community that Jesus pointed and called us all to be a part of. And you invited students and faculty and staff at Penn State all to be a part of that beloved community. Thanks for your work these last almost 6 years. We're grateful for it and for the seeds you've sown. Thanks.
Hi, Ben. These are just a few memories I had photos of, but there are many, many more that we all cherish. But I'm grateful for the time that I was on the advisory team when you
Well, thanks to each of you for participating and for blessing this ministry and for helping to make it happen. This was a UMC vision, and what a gift. What a gift it's been to the community. And a special thanks to Ben today. So even though we can't be here and eat cake together and celebrate together, Ben and Meredith and Annika and Alethea and Jonas, I hope that you each feel the love surrounding you today. We're gonna transition now to a song to follow up with, to also bring a sense of prayer as we listen. It's a song owned by Menno Media as part of the Shine Sunday School curriculum brought to us by Walking Roots.
Bring your peace when I'm lost, when I'm lost, Lord, bring your peace, bring your peace when I'm alone, when I'm alone, Lord, bring your peace and make us instruments to sing your peace and give us love for each other. Into a world that longs to heal, send us, Lord, to bring your peace. Bring your peace when we're afraid, when we're afraid. Thank you.
May God's peace be on us. As we have each week been unmuting ourselves so that you can bring your voice to this congregation, Ben, in just a moment, would you unmute us and would each of you join me in ending the sharing time with the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day
our daily bread,
and forgive us our sins, as
we forgive those who sin against us.
And lead us not
into temptation, but
deliver us from evil. Thine
is the kingdom,
the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. A bit of Pentecost with hearing all of those voices speaking together. As has been mentioned in transitioning to announcements right now, there is a rally at noon. It's gonna be socially distanced, so please bring a mask if you plan on going to the gates at noon to support those who are vulnerable in our community. I'm wondering if we have any birthdays in our community to celebrate this week. Any visitors here with us today? If you're worshiping with us, we would love to know who you are and where you're from.
It seems like my wife has joined us today. But she can't hear the service. She's telling me that she's frustrated because she sees everybody, but she can't get the voice. She is there on the window. We can see her. Her name is Micheline, and she's joining us from Kinshasa. So today the whole family has joined the UMC. There she's waving. Oh, you can hear now, Micheline.
So glad you're with us as well, Micheline. It's a gift to have your family here. Anyone else with us for the first time? Well, my brothers and sisters, as we bring this service to a close on this Pentecost Sunday, this time of Third Way ending, as we know it with Ben's leadership, I offer this benediction to you. May you go out into the world, brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, and labor to bring forth new life. May the God who breathed life into creation be your delight. May Christ Jesus give you hope for your journey, and may the Holy Spirit, your advocate and supporter, set your hearts ablaze with a passion for peace. Go forward in the name of Christ. Amen.